listening to The Ouachita Chronicles.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Ashley.
What's up?
Not much, Buttercup. What are you up to?
Oh, just chilling with you here in the studio.
Yep, that's what we're doing.
Yep, that's what we're doing. It's a recording day. It's kind of a long recording day for us. Trying to get some episodes banked, I feel like.
Or put it in a bank. Shorty, what you drank.
Yeah, okay.
Anyways.
The last episode, we did a recap.
Recap episode.
Yes, we did a recap. We talked about all of the guests that we'd had on, but we got to that point where we recapped all our guests and we still needed some time to fill.
Then we recapped The Office.
So we recapped The Office. Mm-hmm. And out of that recap of The Office, it was like, okay, who are we going to interview next? Because due to some scheduling conflicts and being able to get people here mm-hmm. in the studio, we needed to get an episode recorded to release, mm-hmm. you know. The day this episode's going to release. The day it drops. We didn't have anything banked. So in our recap of The Office, we were like, oh, hey, Justin.
Duh, we needs to talk to him.
We needs to talk to Justin because Justin is our receptionist here, if you heard the last episode. But he's also an award-winning playwright. Super mm-hmm. duper cool stuff. He's a very interesting young man. Mm-hmm. I mean, interesting.
Very.
Yeah, dapper, as you would say.
Always. That's the word that comes to mind for me when I think of Justin, is just a dapper young man who's full of potential and is just a great human being.
Well, you pointed out that him and producer Trey were Twinkies today.
Yes, they are. Producer Trey and bromance brother Justin came all dressed in black and gray today. It was super cute.
Yeah.
They're like brothers.
Yeah, we even encourage them to create a joint Tinder profile
mm-hmm.
because they're both single, ladies.
They're both single. Get after it, girls.
Yeah, but we thought maybe they'd have better chances of finding Mrs. Wright mm-hmm. if there were two of them.
That's right. I feel like they do. They're very kind. They're very thoughtful. I've gotten treats.
Tell about your experience the other day.
So I was having a very emotional day, as the snowflakes would call it, a triggered event.
Triggers everywhere.
Yeah, and was just in a nonstop state of crying and grieving and sorrow. And I didn't say anything to the boys. I just came into my office, lights off, lamps, set my sad music on and just tried to go to work. It ended up being me laying on the sofa crying for most of the day, but I was still trying to be here and be present, and Trey noticed. And when I got back from lunch and went into my office, there was a gift basket. There's a little treat bag full of art supplies, movies, a cute little Buddha figurine, and candy, and just a little note that said, "We don't know what's going on, but we care about you and we're here." And I just thought that was one for anyone to step outside of themselves, see another person hurting or grieving, and take the time to go and procure a little bag of happiness. That is so meaningful, and I wish that more people would do those types of things to show people that they're not alone, that they have a support system, that someone cares. For them to do that at 19 years old speaks volumes to their maturity, to their empathy, and to
their potential as future husbands.
Yes, ladies. So if I can recommend, if you're searching for your soulmate, it could possibly be found in producer Trey or Justin.
Hey, producer Trey here. For inquiries, you can find me at Trey Youngdahl Art on Facebook. That's YOUNGDAHL. And youngish.trey on Instagram. You can find Justin, that beautiful boy, at __Richmond on Instagram. And his Snapchat is J_Richmond2001. Send that boy some love. Back to the show.
No, we're not joking. I mean, we're really proud of you guys. Mm-hmm. We truly, truly are proud of y'all. Very impressed with what has been accomplished so far just while we've been working with them.
Mm-hmm.
But excited to see what the future holds for both of them.
Yes.
Because they're shaping up to be terrific young men, but terrific human beings.
Human beings. Kind. And I think if there's a hallmark quality that you should be looking for when dating someone, first thing should be kindness. Because I think from kindness, everything else flows. Honesty, trust, empathy, kindness. And these guys are kind.
Yeah, if you can master kindness, mm-hmm. you've got everything else covered.
Yep.
Are you saying that you're excited to see me get a girlfriend? Is that what you're saying? Because that's a little hurtful. Because you're like,
no.
Homie's
no,
lonely.
Not
I'm
at
excited
all.
To see the kind of person you develop into based on the kind of person you already are.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting for me. Excited to see. I know that you will treat whoever your partner may be with kindness. kindness. I know this.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, but I'm looking forward to seeing, not that you're not a happy individual now, you are, but to seeing you be able to share your happiness with others throughout a dating process or building and facilitating a relationship. I love to see other people happy, especially when those people are kind people. They really deserve happiness. That's what we're looking forward to seeing.
Well, building off of what you were saying about the team, you know, like I hate seeing, you know, when Justin's upset or when Jerry's upset. And I know that the team just works so much better if we take care of each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to live by that. It's like what I think about when I think what makes a good man, you know, mm-hmm. first and foremost, a good father, you know, a good husband. But also on that list is someone who takes care of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you doesn't matter if you love that person, if you hate that person, if you've never met that person, if they're in need and you have extra, you give that to them.
Kindness.
It's taking care of people.
Kindness. And playing off of what you said, Trey, about the team environment, you know, a lot of times I joke that it's my job to keep everybody positive, upbeat, mm-hmm. so they're working efficiently, but also having fun at their jobs. And, you know, you said you were having a really emotional day. Well, you and I have both had a few mm-hmm. emotional days lately in relation to someone we greatly care about who's mm-hmm. having a difficult time. So you and I have not been on our normal
Mm-mm.
at all. We've been down, definitely.
Yeah.
I noticed a couple days into that the way you and I were feeling mm-hmm. was affecting the entire office.
Right.
I saw that just a few days in, and I tried real hard to check myself there. I went, okay, Ashley, you're really good generally at leaving this stuff at the door, mm-hmm. leaving it at home, coming into work.
You are good at
right
sucking it up and pushing through, and you are amazing in your abilities to just champion yourself through whatever issues you're facing and be a champion for those around you. I am not.
But that's that infectious personality, mm-hmm. and I know that if I stay upbeat and happy, that's going to affect everyone else in right. the office, so that's what I do. Trey, you've made a comment before that you've watched me do that. I've started to realize the temperature of the office or mm-hmm. the environment, and okay, everybody needs a pep talk, or we need a song, or we need mm-hmm. something. We need Ashley walking down the hall acting like a crazy person
yeah.
just to make everybody laugh for a minute to break out mm-hmm. of what's going on. But I even find it hard, you know, like in situations like what we're dealing with, it's been very difficult for me to leave that at the door, to not yeah. think about it. And as I watched what was happening with our team, mm-hmm. based on the way you and I were feeling, I came to work this morning with a completely different outlook, ready to turn things around.
Mm-hmm.
Checked it at the door, left it there. My mood is going to be positive and upbeat.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. Exactly. So I don't even know how we got off on all this, because I guess we were talking about Trey and Justin and mm-hmm. the great human beings they are. But mm-hmm. I'm extremely proud of our team. And I do know it's my job to keep everybody motivated. So sorry for slacking for a few days. Everybody's got those days. But we're back full force
back
and
on
going.
Track. Choo-choo. Yeah.
Now, Jerry does have every now and then those sad days. Or Jerry also suffers from migraines.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got that nice sofa in your office where you said you spent a good part of that day
yes.
crying. At some point, we need to upgrade your sofa
so that I can fully extend my legs and not curl up
on a love seat. Yeah. Yeah. And you know who we're going to holler at to upgrade your sofa?
Oh, we got to go to Don's Easy Pay.
We've got to go to Don's Easy Pay. We need to go measure your office to mm-hmm. see if we could get one of those huge catnapper sofas in there.
Ooh, can we get like a big L-shaped one, like the U-shaped one or something like that, so that we can just have a community nap day?
As the actual boss, I'm You're not sure no that I should say that that's okay. But in theory, it sounds like a terrific idea.
Well, and if we were to go off of that theory, hypothetically, we could get that at Don's Easy Pay.
We could. But we could also get one that's much more suited to the size of your office and would not encourage office-wide napping.
Yeah.
Yeah, at Don's Easy Pay.
Yeah, it's supposed to be emergency use only.
Yeah, we have a sign over it. There's mm-hmm. a 15-minute crying.
15 minutes, that's it.
You can only sit there and cry for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But yeah, Don's basically has anything you could need. Furniture for your home, furniture for your office, electronics, tires, lawn and garden, everything. You can get it at Don's Easy Pay. So make sure and find your local Don's Easy Pay and check them out. They're in Arkansas and Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Search them on Facebook and you can find all the locations. All right. So as we said, today's guest, because of, you know, just the way things worked out with our scheduling, we ended up interviewing Justin. And now we're going to introduce Justin to the world. Apologies in advance. Welcome to this episode of the Washita Chronicles. I am your host, Ashley Smith, along with my very tired co-host, Jerry.
I am having to muster the energy to say, hello, world.
You did. You mustered.
But there it is, folks. You got it from me.
Thank you. Today's guest in our studio is an award-winning playwright. No, I mean, seriously. Mm-hmm. He's an award-winning playwright at a very young age. He's only 19 years old. He's also Pulse Multimedia's very own front office person, Justin Richmond.
He's the face of the company.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
It's the first person you see when you walk in the door.
Yeah. Well, say hello to the world, Justin.
Hello, world. I'm Justin Richmond, famous award-winning playwright and honorable Pulse worker.
I said award-winning. I did not say famous.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I'm not okay. Famous yet.
No, I feel like you've got to speak your intent into the world. You're right. And if you want to be famous, just
manifest it.
Yeah. Manifest. That's what rappers do. And it works for them.
You're right. You're not wrong.
Did you say that's what rappers do? So I'm gonna start off today's episode with a little anecdote about how I actually met Justin the first time. Longtime listeners will know that I was previously with the Chamber of Commerce, and one of those things that the Chamber will do is often go to job fairs. We went to one at one of our local school districts, and Justin, what were you, a junior at that time?
Yeah, I think so.
So you were 16?
Yeah, 16.
16 years old. We had set up a booth at the job fair, and Justin had come around with a group of friends because you guys had to go to, like, what, 4 booths and write something down from each of them to prove that you had actually not just been screwing off during the job fair.
Oh, yeah.
That you'd actually spoken with people. And he kind of, well, I say kind of, very confidently walked up to the chamber booth and said, well, what is it that you do? And, you know, me and my ego, well.
You told him.
Well, I recognized a kindred spirit. I did. He had confidence that does not generally emanate off of a 16-year-old. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we sat and chatted for a little while. And I feel like you ended up staying at our booth a lot longer than really was warranted.
Yeah, I went around to a couple other ones and I just decided to come back with my favorite person, Ashley.
Right.
Yeah.
And he also was very flattering, you know. Aww. Yeah, I'm your favorite person. And I'm sitting here thinking, this could get me in trouble. You're 16 years old. But I don't think it was like that. I honestly think he was just interested in what we were doing. We talked about nonprofit stuff, events, all of that neat things that the chamber gets to do. Job fair ends. You stopped by to see me at the chamber at one point and visited with me. You kept in touch via Facebook, kind of updating me on your projects and things that you were doing. And it was always really, really good to hear from you. And then whenever we were hiring for that front desk position, as I said in our last episode, mm-hmm. where we were kind of just chatting about the people that worked here in the office, you know, you were the only one who followed the directions to a T. You came in a suit. You interviewed very, very well. And I thought, all right, let's take a chance on this 19-year-old. But I knew in the meantime, from the time I had met you until the time that we got you hired on here, that you'd been involved in some really cool projects. And so that's what we are here to talk about today.
Great. Awesome.
Can you be any weirder?
Sorry. Oh.
Yeah. When did you get into writing? What types of things did you write when you first started?
I was sitting in class. I had just moved here from Washington State, and I was hating every second of it. And then my English teacher saw me and handed me the form to enter into this playwriting competition. And so she kind of made me do it. I didn't really want to do it. And then the next thing I know, I'm at this competition winning awards, so I just kept doing it.
So your first one right out the gate, instant award winner.
Well, the first one didn't win an award.
I was going to say, was that the first play you had written?
That was the first one. It got us into the competition, and I did it at their local theater. But it was still a good experience. Mm-hmm. But then the next 2 years, I won 2 years in a row. So.
Nice.
What was the name of that first play?
It was called Weeds and Dandelions.
Okay, so you can't just sit here and go, well, it got, you know, picked up and then it was done at the local theater. This was a big thing, okay?
Yeah.
This was a big mm-hmm. thing. You are being quite humble at this point. And what we really want to talk about is starting to write at such a young age, getting mm-hmm. recognized for writing at such a young age, being able to have your production, you know, put on even on a small level at such a young age. So your English teacher basically said, hey, you should enter this. Did you already have an idea for what you wanted to write about? Had this been rolling around in your head, or did you have to come up with something on the spot? Because I really want to know the story of Weeds and Dandelions.
Well, for those of you who don't know what Weeds and Dandelions is about, it's about a mother and she loses her kids to foster care. And it's just kind of about her struggle to try to get them back, working with the human resources worker. But she told me about this competition, then I went home and I rode the bus in those days. And I was just sitting there and I would look out the window and I'd watch the kids get off the bus into some pretty interesting looking homes. And so that's where this idea of what their lives would have been like, if I imagine. And so I just rode it on the bus for about 2 months. And then I submitted it.
Okay. I love people watching. And it's a favorite pastime to come up with a backstory of the people that you are watching. And sometimes it ends in some laughs. But he took that pastime and turned it into legitimate talent. So that's pretty cool.
Thanks.
I was sitting over here kind of speechless because that's... It's a very cool way to come up with the premise for the play. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Weeds and Dandelions took you about 2 months to write.
Yeah.
It was sent in for a school competition, correct?
Yeah, the Arkansas Young Playwright Competition.
Okay. At what point did OLT, Ouachita Little Theater, take notice of this?
Before we actually put it on at the theater, it was only a one act because it's a one act competition. Mm-hmm. And so I had made it into a full four act play. And I was wanting to get it done at the OLT, and I happened to run into one of the board members at the bank, and I was like, listen, please do this. And he was like, I'll talk to some board members. And so I went, and I met with Rudy Timmerman, who's the president at the OLT of the time. And he just kind of said, okay. And that was it. And I didn't really get too much help. I didn't really know what I was doing. It was kind of amateur.
Very amateur. How old were you? 17? 16.
Yeah, so.
And so there was no pushback when you went and you were like, hey, I'd like to have my play put on here. And they're not looking at a 16-year-old going, what?
I'm sure some of them were. Not all the board members were present, so that's maybe why it got passed so easily.
Right.
But it was a lot of hard work. I remember the show was in August, and I took about, it was a full week off of school. I took off to just take my key to the OLT and stay there for an entire week, sleep there, and I just built the set myself. And the whole budget was probably about $100 to put on the whole show because I didn't charge anything for the script or royalties or anything.
Okay, so let's talk about that process from start to finish. That's very interesting to me. So from the point that they said, yes, we'll allow you to put your production on, take me through the steps.
We had auditions, which were very, very interesting. I got to see a lot of interesting people. And I tried to make it an objective to try to cast people who hadn't been in plays before or people in the community who needed something. And so we got a lot of people who were struggling with some drug problems or personal problems that related to the script as well, because I wanted it to be very real and possibly healing at some point. But we did get a great cast together, and we all became a really good close family through that.
When you were casting these parts, since I haven't read the actual script for it, did you have descriptors, ideas in mind for the specific parts? I mean, did you know that this person was going to be a, you know, you wanted it to be a blonde-haired female, or you wanted this other person to be a, you know, dark-haired male or teenager, yeah, or whatever. You had ideas in place. How did that line up with your auditions?
For the most part, it lined up pretty good because I had done the one act before I did the full thing. So I had already done a portion of it before, so I kind of had an idea of what I wanted. But there were actually people in the community that I had in mind when I was writing some of the parts. And the two lead characters, Mark and Gene, I wrote for Cody G and Beth Coogan, and those are the people who played the part, so it worked out pretty good.
Okay. That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. So once the play is cast, rehearsals are going on at the same time as like building set. Is that correct?
Like I said, it was very amateur. Mm-hmm. We were having a lot of rehearsals and trying to build the set at the same time. I had Cody G, who was also playing the main character, helping me stay in there at night and just getting hammers and raiding the prop room. Cody was really, really good. I remember on the opening night, the night before, I had an epiphany that I was going to write some more lines for him. And I showed up with like 4 extra pages of dialogue. On our opening night, he's outside pacing back and forth trying to get his lines. We're getting the lighting ready. People are showing up and I say, Cody, I have more lines for you. And he did it.
I bet he loved you at that point, huh?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. He was very happy with it. But it worked out great. Had a lot of good people working with me.
Okay. How long of a run was the show?
It was 2 weekends, 6 shows.
And what was attendance like? I mean, you know, listeners know, if they've been listening to us for a while, they know we live in a small town, but they know that we're very proud of the OLT and kind of the whole arts district and everything that goes down. And a lot more people come to the OLT, especially, you know, pre-pandemic. Hmm. And this was several years back. So what was attendance like at these?
It was pretty good. We had one night that we had not a lot of people show up, but there was a bunch of games and it was the fair. But the people that showed up really enjoyed it. And our last show was a full house, which was like one of the only full houses we had that whole year. But I had people coming up to me. I had this man who immigrated here from Asia, and he watched the show, and he came up to me afterwards, and he said, your show made me miss my mother so much that I'm going to go this weekend and move back to Asia.
Oh my goodness.
I was like,
you're running people out of the country.
I guess so. That's what it did. We did have a couple people walk out. this one woman walked out during the first scene because it was a little too personal.
So the subject matter, yeah, can be very difficult for some people.
Yes. But she did come back, and she bought a recording of it so she could watch it in private.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Keep your inhalers at the ready. The Washtenaw Chronicles will be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Ashley, I'm so glad you're my best friend.
What do you want?
Well, help all the time. You know, my life is a mess. Always. How long have you known me? And it always seems to be a mess. And that's why you're the sunshine of my life. And I'm hoping that as the sunshine of my life, you've got some type of information for me to help me get a little bit more independent.
Girl, I don't know that I got that much energy. But speaking of energy, you know I just bought a new house, right?
Well, yeah.
So this new house that I bought has extremely high ceilings, mm-hmm. okay, and lots of rooms, and no backup heat source. I'm feeling like my electric bills are going to be sky high.
You being the sunshine of my life is not going to help you with your electric bills.
No, but you know what will?
What?
Calling Area Solar. Okay, so Area Solar is local. They're based out of Hatfield, Arkansas, and they serve Polk County and surrounding counties.
Nice.
Let me give you some facts on solar. Solar is now less expensive than grid electricity. Solar systems can pay back in about 10 years. Solar energy is free and renewable. The sun will shine for many years to come, just like me in your mm-hmm. life. And solar energy also avoids burning of fossil fuels like coal and natural gas that contribute to global warming. Solar is efficient. It's generated right where it's used. And tax credits. Currently, the tax credit is 26% on all solar-related installations. So Area Solar can install two different types of solar-powered systems. Off-grid, mm-hmm. which requires batteries but can be anywhere in the woods or just backup power when the power goes out. And then the grid tied. That actually connects to a power company to lower your electric bill to a base rate, generally about $20 or so a month.
Nice. That's the kind of cash I need back in my pocket.
I'm going to call Riley Johnson. He is our local Area Solar expert. If you think that solar might be the next step for you, you got to give Riley Johnson a call at Area Solar, 870-389-6115. When this was advertised, did, you know, the potential patrons know that it was a 16-year-old who wrote this play? Was that part of the advertising of it, or was it just like, hey, this is any other play?
It was all actually kind of confusing, and I think it goes back to the fact that it was only like two people were there when it was okayed. So some people weren't sure if it was an OLT production or if we had come in and we had already rehearsed it or if it was a junior thing. But as for the advertising, I pretty much did a lot of that myself. I went home and I colored six different flyers myself and I drew them. And then I went all over town and taped them on Taco Bell and on the side of the road everywhere. And so.
Weeds and dandelions. This is a true grassroots mm-hmm. production.
Oh, yeah.
Grassroots because of weeds and dandelions.
Yeah.
It didn't miss. It just,
yeah, it just wasn't that funny. Yeah.
It was really funny.
Well, I remember, I believe it was after the production, after the play had its run, either seeing an article on you or hearing something, you know, and just basically reading, you know, this had been put on, very, very young playwright who basically did everything. I mean, you were in it as well, right?
No.
Not in that? Okay. For some reason, I thought you were. But I was reading this and I'm looking and I look at the name and then I look at the photo and I was like, that's that kid mm-hmm. from the job fair.
I believe that was in a local paper.
Mm-hmm.
And you had brought that to my attention and we had that discussion.
I remember
you telling me about Justin
mm-hmm.
when you were at the chamber and I was working at the other.
Because I was very impressed. I was impressed yes. with him when I met him, yes. but just, you know, what he managed to accomplish in basically like 6 months after I met mm-hmm. him is what it feels like. So
okay. I was impressed when the first time I met him here at work and you were wearing suspenders.
Oh, yeah.
And just looked so dapper. And I just thought, who is this person with all the personality? Because it's rare that you see someone that's willing to just be themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful to witness.
Can I ask something kind of personal?
Oh, yes.
You said the subject matter of that play, obviously, it's a little triggering for some people. And that you really came up with the idea while riding the bus, people watching, imagining these circumstances. Were there any personal factors in your life that contributed to it that were written in?
There was a bunch of stuff from my childhood, a couple of things I pulled here and there. But a big thing was, at the time, my mom was a DHS worker, so I kind of got the first-hand
experience, yeah, some stories, exactly. No names or anything, but, yeah. you know, kind of like, here's what can happen.
Exactly. And she was in the show as a DHS worker, so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so you got to direct your mom?
Oh, yeah. It was perfect. I made her audition.
Oh, no.
I love it. I love that. Absolutely love that. Okay. So you're riding high on the success
oh, yeah.
of winning an award, having your play produced, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens next? Do you just keep writing? Did you take a break? What did you do?
By the time Weeds and Dandelions finished at the OLT, it was about time again for the next year's AYPC competition. And so my English teacher made me enter it again. But I had spent so much time with Weeds and Dandelions, I hadn't really been thinking about it. And so I believe it was 2 nights before the deadline, and I just wrote South of Cortez, Montezuma County, and it just poured out of me, and I was so stressed about it. But that's the one that ended up winning my first time.
Okay, what's that about? You wrote it in 2 hours?
In like a night. I came up with the idea one night, and then I just wrote it the next night until.
All right, give me the storyline there, plot line. What's this one about?
For the one act, because I also made that one into a full length, but the one act that went to competition, it's about this family living in Colorado, in Cortez. That's what the town is called. But the father's a pastor, and he lives with his wife and their 2 children. And one day, this man comes, and he's trying to get this group of Indians that he's rescued from a reservation across this state line to this sort of safe haven. And it's just about the conflict of being faced with an obstacle and being able to seize your moment. And the family's kind of in crisis, trying to figure out what to do. And they eventually decide to leave their homestead and take the Indians to the safe haven, basically, yeah.
You're very good at developing themes for such a young... Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. It's very profound, actually, the themes that you're coming up with mm-hmm. to and how you're addressing them. Very, very interesting. All right. So this one won that competition. Yeah. And you said you also developed that into a 4-act, right?
Yeah, that was supposed to be done at the OLT last summer, but then COVID hit.
COVID.
So gonna
right.
try to get it done soon here.
Okay. But there's more. Isn't there?
Yeah, and then I won this past year at the mm-hmm. competition again for the ear. It's just a 1-act. I haven't made it into a full length anything. But
and it's about what?
It is a dinner party of 2.5 couples.
2.5 couples?
2.5 married couples. But that's kind of just about relationships and about love. The 2.5, one man shows up without his wife because she is meeting someone off of Craigslist at a P.F. Chang's and having an affair with him. Oh. And he knows it. But it's a comedy. And it's just, it kind of gets out of control, gets a little wacky. Guy cuts his ear off at the end.
Goes
it
all to his Van wife Gogh, on huh? play.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just, since I had won the year before, I wasn't too worried about winning. So I was just put as much crazy things I could put into one script that I could think of.
To see if you could still win.
Yeah. And it paid off. I won.
Wow.
I'd like to read his mm-hmm. scripts. But I wonder if it's the subject matter or the style of writing. What it is specifically that has contributed to these multiple wins?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm around you every day. And you're a very interesting person, yes. Definitely humorous. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a bit inappropriate. That's okay. It's hard for me to imagine you putting something like this together. Yeah, it is.
That's what most people say.
Yeah, and I don't mean that in any detrimental way whatsoever. No. It's just you're not as expressive in normal day-to-day life. So you save that for pen and pad.
Oh, yeah. Writing for Weeds and Dandelions, since I had never written a script before, I was very upset when I moved here from Washington. I did not like Arkansas at all. Now I love it, don't get me wrong. And so I kind of used that as an outlet for all of my feelings. And then like 6 or 7 months later, when it was finally on stage, it was like a release. So
it was cathartic to write that nice. And have it done. Okay. Did you have the writing bug before this? I mean, did your English teacher know that you had this creative writing abilities when she said you need to enter this play competition?
I had written a couple things before, just some stupid short stories and stuff. And I did like to write, but I never thought of doing anything with it or entering any competitions.
Are you working on a play now?
Not right now. I'm working on some short films with some friends of mine, just some stuff to pass the time, nothing too serious, but I would like to write another play at some point.
In your spare time, part-time?
Spare time, part-time, you know.
How much harder is it to write something that has to be scripted than just like a short story or, you know, novel type?
I think it would probably depend. For me, it's a lot easier because I've tried to write short stories and I just get bored way too easily. And I don't know, maybe it's just because they're so blocky and you mm-hmm. have to fill so much space. But with scripts, it just comes really easy for me. And I'm always thinking of...
Because it's dialogue.
Yeah,
it's just a back and forth.
Dialogue, yeah. And so I find it very easy.
Where did your inspiration for your second play come from? The one set in Colorado?
Yeah, Montezuma. I honestly have no clue. I was listening to Neil Young, and he has a song called Cortez the Killer, and I was like, I love this song. And I found out Cortez was a place in Colorado, and I was just thought, what's going on in Colorado in the late 1800s? And mm-hmm. then I sat down, and a couple hours later,
ta-da.
Ta-da, that's what happened, yeah.
Inspiration for the ear?
Inspiration for the ear. I had been watching a lot of very art house movies and a lot of out there kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I want to do that. My favorite thing is relations with people. People are my favorite. And I just like the dialogue that happens there.
Did you just say your favorite thing is relations with people?
Yes, I did.
Do you mean relations or you mean the relationships that people have?
What Jerry said.
Yeah.
No. I love dinner table scenes. Mm-hmm. In any movie, those are my favorite. And if you look at anything I've ever written, all of them center around a dinner table just because you get a bunch of different kinds of people sitting down at one table and they just have to clash. And I think that's really easy to do. But also, that's where you get the best dialogue, is having a bunch of different people together.
Well, do you feel like your current work environment might provide inspiration for a future play?
Honestly, yeah. The Office Part 2.
Earlier, Ashley, you had said that he didn't strike you as that type of person. And I do not have that. I feel like he's the type that sits back, observes, and just has this imagination wonderland that goes on with people and what their lives must be like. And I think that that's why his plays probably do so well, because I have read them. And it is extremely difficult to develop a character through dialogue only. And most people are not good at playwriting because it's difficult to do that through dialogue, because there's not, unless they're having a lot of internal monologues, mm-hmm. you know, how is the character feeling? And you have to
narrator.
Exactly. You have to be able to convey that through dialogue, and you do such a great job at character development. And I think that's why I enjoyed your script so much. So well,
thank you.
It makes me want to know all the time what's going on in his head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I can say now, more so after working with him, now, you know, I start to see that. Mm-hmm. But he was very much full of bravado the first time I met him, and then, you know, came in with a lot of confidence for his job interview, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. I just didn't quite put that artsy creative type together with that. I obviously knew he had that in him, but it seemed like basically just more kind of teenage boy stuff going on. And I don't feel like you meet a whole lot of teenage boys that are doing the kind of stuff that he was doing.
Do you feel like you're a very bravado person? Or is that like a hat that you wear when it's necessary?
I feel like it's a hat that I wear. It's kind of just my persona. There's a drama teacher at one of our high schools. I won't name her name, but she's lovely. I love her. But I feel like maybe she gets the wrong idea of me just because I come off as maybe very arrogant sometimes and maybe proud. But that's just, I get really nervous on stage, and I get nervous when I'm around a lot of people. So I found...
Fake it till you make it.
Fake it mm-hmm. till you make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep your inhalers at the ready. The Washed Out Chronicles will be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Ashley.
So, you know, we have this thing in the South here that we call floating. You heard of floating?
I've heard of the floating. I've been on a float or two.
So I, for a long time, have had a bucket list float.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about your bucket list.
My bucket list float is to float the Buffalo River. The Buffalo River is America's first national river, and it's located in north central Arkansas in the gorgeous Ozark Mountains.
Yeah, I floated it actually as a child, and the best place to do that is at Buffalo River Outfitters.
Buffalo River Outfitters is an authorized concessionaire on the Buffalo National River.
They're located in St. Joe, Arkansas, and they've got floating and access to camping and fishing, hiking's around, all your needs are taken care of at BRO. The bros will hook you up.
They've got canoes, kayaks, rafts, shuttle service.
Yeah, if floating is your thing, they've got one-day trips or multiple-day trips, and they're all made easier by renting from BRO. When you're on your float, you can see beautiful limestone bluffs, the wilderness, and unparalleled scenic beauty.
And then, after you've spent a long day on the river, you can cozy up in one of BRO's spacious and comfortable log cabins. They've got stone fireplaces, wide porches, fully equipped kitchens, wooded settings. They've got cozy cabins for two, or cabins big enough to accommodate 10 people.
Y'all should definitely visit the Buffalo River Outfitters store and stock up on everything you need while you're there for your Ozark adventure.
And their knowledgeable staff can accommodate any questions about the Buffalo National River. You can also order books and maps online to prepare for your visit with them.
So if you're ready to plan your Buffalo River adventure, you've got to check out BuffaloRiverOutfitters.com to find out more and book conveniently online. Give them a call at 870-439-2200 and follow them on Facebook and Instagram.
When are we taking our bucket list trip? I mean, you got to go with me. You're my best friend.
Well, let's do it soon.
Soon. So back to the subject of inspiration. I really like the inspiration of Weeds and Dandelions. I like what you said about Cortez. That's very cool. If you were to go into Justin's office, you would notice that, well, maybe you would step back in time.
Mm-hmm. Pretty groovy in there.
Record player. Records. the suspenders. He does not have a green thumb, I'll say that much. I've tried to rehab a couple of his plants. That, no. Sorry to Justin's mother. Only one survived of the office plants you gifted him. Yeah, during his first week here. But yeah, it's like you were born in the wrong time period, possibly.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I mean, give me some rundowns, some favorite artists, some favorite movies, because you seem to be a film buff.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I probably have like a movie for every day out of the year.
Wow, having the attention span to watch that much is difficult for me.
I don't. I just fall asleep.
but yeah, tell me about some of the music you listen to, some of the films, and what you're drawn from.
Music is a really big thing for me. If you look at any of my scripts, I have like soundtracks in the beginning of them. I love Neil Young, obviously, like I said. I listen to pretty much anything, even SoundCloud rap if it's good. But I like a lot of James Carr, Etta James, The Spinners, stuff like that. It's just a lot of older stuff. And older films too. Paris, Texas by Wim Wenders is one of my favorite films of all time. Cider House Rules. I cry as soon as it plays, then I cry until it's over. And I think that's my idea of a good time. So
crying in front of Cider House Rules.
Yeah. Kind of what I feel probably started my love for movies and film and wanting to create something. When I was in elementary school, my mom and I would go to the public library and we would rent Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, The Waltons, Andy Griffith Show, and that would be like our afternoon thing almost every day. And so that has a lot of fond memories for me, and so I still watch movies with my mom all the time. A lot of stuff like that, just older stuff. I really love older stuff. I love older music. I love the old-timey feel of clothes or
I was going to say, places. What inspires your style of fashion?
Whatever looks good dress. On me.
Uh-huh. He generally does look good.
Mm-hmm.
He generally. Dresses well.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'll walk in sometimes and be like, dang, Justin, looking sharp today.
Yeah, looking very dapper.
Looking very dapper.
Dapper is the word.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've noticed since you've been here, as I said, gotten to know you better and really started to see these things that I did not see originally, which I wasn't putting those two things together. But, yeah, you've got this whole persona going on, and I don't believe that your persona is a put-on at all.
Mm-mm.
I believe that you're actually pretty authentic here, but it's just something you don't see a whole lot now. You're not posing. You're not a hipster.
Oh,
it's,
no.
It seems like you'd rather live when times were a lot simpler.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
If you could pick a time to be alive in, what time would you pick?
Gosh, I would have loved to grow up in the 50s, I think. Just blue jeans, white t-shirts, and walking around in the woods, living my best life.
Greaser hair.
Oh, yeah, greaser hair.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in the 60s, that would have been.
Bicycles and Converse.
Yeah. That would have been it for me.
Okay, so as a people watcher who comes up with backstories, plays in their imagination all the time, what's it been like for you working here at The Pulse? Because previously you were, you know, you were working at a restaurant.
Yeah.
And I'm sure kind of different shifts and crews of people and customers, yada, yada, yada. But you're really in a very close setting with all of us.
Oh, yeah.
All day long. So what has that been like for you as that person who sits back and people watches and thinks of these imaginative stories?
Ashley, my brief stints and tiny bits of investigative journalism, I've learned to not ask questions you don't want the answers to.
You know what? I was thinking that when I was formulating
like
the question.
I don't want to know. Can I excuse myself?
I'm not asking him to talk about specific people, but more so like, you know, this environment, this is very different from being in a restaurant.
Yes.
It's probably actually, maybe it's not very different. That's kind of what I want to know because you're working with a big set of creative people.
Yeah. It's a really fun time. If I ever have any free time or if I hear something like you say, Ashley, I have a wall of Ashley's quotes growing bigger and bigger by the day. But sometimes I'll just think of something. One of you guys will do something and I'll just get on my Word doc and start writing some ideas. So whether you guys know it or not, you're constantly feeding my imagination.
I am a little peeved, honestly, because he's taking all of our fabulous quotes and he's going to turn them into something amazing.
And we're
still
going to
be
out
here podcasting.
No royalties. Yeah. No royalties.
I'm a plagiarist.
The reason I asked that question was because I wanted to know a little bit about the difference in working in a more non-creative environment mm-hmm. with people who are, you know, customer service and, you know, it's just a whole different
mm-hmm.
industry
mm-hmm.
versus working with the circus here where everyone is pretty much a creative
mm-hmm.
and how that's been for him as a creative. Do you feel more comfortable with other creatives than you do with non-creatives? I'm not trying to be offensive to anybody, but you, Jerry, help me formulate the, you know what I'm trying to say here.
I think I get what you're saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's for the most part, as for how I'm getting those creative like influences, since like Jerry said, it mostly comes to me through people watching. And so watching you guys, watching the wonderful, wonderful people that come into The Pulse every day and call And it's almost the same for Chopping Block because I would wait on some wonderful, wonderful people. And so I think no matter where I would be, I'm constantly getting ideas. But it has been nice being able to work with somewhat like-minded people and to help me out. Like when I send Jerry an article, she'll show me how to formulate it better because I'm horrible at like technically writing.
Writing is different from playwriting. Playwriting is different from short stories. Yeah. So
even playwriting, I have.
Yeah.
If you look at some of my scripts, there's tons of misspellings and grammar stuff. But
the idea and the message. Yeah.
That's what I'm good at. Yeah.
Yeah. A spell check can fix spelling. It cannot fix just bad structure, bad ideas, yeah. Basically. Mm-hmm. It can't fix that at all. Well, Justin has gotten to take on some assignments. Mm-hmm. One of the things that he expressed was that he had an interest in journalism. And I thought, well, what better of a stepping stone than to start off at the lowest rung with us. You know, earn your dues, basically. Pay your dues and get to know basically from the bottom up. You couldn't have a better person to mentor you in that than Jerry, honestly. Oh, yeah. Jerry is an amazing writer. No. And Jerry,
I apologize to Justin because I'm jaded and I'm tired.
You are jaded and tired, but 5 years ago
you would have gotten a lot more out of me, but we're going to do what we can.
You're great, Jerry.
She's a terrific writer, and I won't hear anything else of it. And, you know, she's given you some assignments, and you've gotten to it. Most of it's been human interest type stuff.
Feature stories.
Yes. Feature stories, what you really like. So how has that been going to interview people and writing for the paper?
I've enjoyed every second of it. I really love doing it. I like the technical stuff to it, like having a deadline. I like that kind of stuff. And then, of course, meeting with people. I love getting to know strangers. I love talking to people, hearing their stories. So it has been really great, and I've loved it.
You're doing really great.
Well, thank you, Jerry.
No, you are, and you take criticism really well. And for you to have this many awards at such a young age and still be able to take feedback and direction and just go with it without getting your knickers in a wad, that's great. That's a great hallmark of humility and future success.
Future success for sure. Like
additional, not just future, because he's already had success.
I know, but I just can't wait to see what you do.
I know.
I'm really excited. Very excited. I'll be glad to say I knew you when you were just a beginning playwright. Whatever it is that you end up doing, I know it's going to be in a creative field for sure. But
don't forget the little people when you make it big.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I'll cast you guys in all my stuff.
Oh, wonderful.
So
I'm definitely auditioning, for sure. If your mom had to audition, I'm going to audition. Yeah,
right, because when there's a play with the character named Jerry, you're going to want to go.
I want to do that.
Keep your inhalers at the ready. The Washed Out Chronicles will be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Hey, Jerry, you know how I was mentioning that I really needed a new couch?
Mm-hmm.
Look at this one I found online.
I mean, that's great and all, but why are you looking for furniture online?
Well, because of the selection and the price. And
that's absolutely ridiculous. You have the same selection and better prices, and you can actually sit and experience the furniture you're going to get for your home at Don's Easy Pay.
Oh, yeah. Aren't they the one who's been family owned and operated for like 40 years?
Yes, they are. And they offer all the brands you're going to find online, like Ashley, GE, Whirlpool, Catnapper, Samsung, England Furniture, Speed Queen, and more. If you visit the store and it's not there for you to sit on and experience, they can special order for you. You can have anything you want there, and the prices are going to really reflect in your pocketbook.
So like the same Ashley furniture that I'm looking at online, I can get at Don's.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, what about delivery setup? Because, you know, shopping online, I get delivery.
Yeah, shopping online, then you've got your delivery fees, your shipping fees, taxes, yada, yada, yada. You go to Don's, you see the price tag, taxes included, delivery fee included, any financing options included in the price on the tag. No math.
Okay, well, what about other stuff? What if I don't just need a couch? What else do they have?
Oh my gosh, every major appliance for your washroom, your kitchen. They've even got game systems, vacuums, stuff for home and garden. If you need it for your house, you can go to Don's and get it. You can also go to Don's and get tires. I mean, really, anything that you need, you can get it at Don's.
Well, you know, I'm really hard on my appliances. What if something breaks?
Not to worry, because Don's does all of the appliance work on things that you buy from them. Things like washers, dryers, ranges, refrigerators, and freezers. So you buy it from them, it breaks, they're going to help you out with appliance repair.
Well, this place that I was shopping online, they had like financing options. Does Don's have that too?
Yes, absolutely. All right, so they've got the retail, like if you just buy it, they've got the price there. You can rent to own it, or you can do 180 days same as cash, or you can do 6 months same as cash for anything over $1,000. And all all of that has the tax and delivery, everything included in the price.
So the price on the piece is the price that I would be paying.
Yeah, price on the piece is the price that you pay.
All right, so where all is Don's at? I mean, where do I go?
If you live in Arkansas, you're pretty much close to it. I mean, you've got one in Mena, Waldron, DeQueen, Broken Bow, Ida Bell, Poto, and they're also going to be doing this really cool new home store in Boonville.
So Don's home store in Boonville.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So can I find them online too?
Yeah. So you just get on Facebook and search Don's Easy Pay and then put in your location like Mena or Waldron, Ida Bell or Boonville. And you can look at their Facebook page, give them a call, find their address and just stop in and see what they can do for you.
So basically, if I need it for my home, Don's Easy Pay has it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, dude, let's go. Car. Shopping trip. So I knew going into this that this episode was not going to be as long as our normal ones because, I mean, you've accomplished a lot in your short amount of time. You're 19 years old. Oh, yeah. You have got so much life ahead of you. So like for some strange reason, we were still doing this 10 years from now. I'd love to have you back on and get completely caught up because I can't imagine what type of adventures you're going to have. But for the sake of being 19, yeah, I mean, you've gotten a lot done. You're in a really good job for your age, working with some amazing people.
Amazing people.
If I do say so myself, yes. You've got the best boss in the world.
I sure do.
You sure do, yeah. But we're going
to
move into
lightning.
He definitely
knows how to pander to an audience.
Oh, yeah. Suck up.
That's me.
But we are going to move into lightning round, and we're going to extend lightning round today. And I think I might handle all of it because I just found some whole lot of interesting questions.
All right, roll with it.
If you think of any while I'm talking, you throw one in, okay? If you could buy any type of food right now, what would you buy?
I would buy a wheel of brie and a baguette.
Yeah. He's classy. I might want to date him now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like a wheel of brie and baguette. You're not old enough to buy red wine, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a butter knife in my drawer in my office.
Next time you're eating brie at work, holler at me.
I'll bring it.
Okay. What color is your toothbrush?
Purple.
If you could be any animal, what would it be?
I would be a bear. I think a bear is my favorite animal.
Why would you want to be a bear?
We don't need to get into that. Next question.
All right. What is your favorite summer activity?
My favorite summer activity? Gosh. Traveling.
All right. If a movie was made of your life, what genre would it be and who would play you?
Oh my gosh. It'd be drama. Melodrama. Who would play me? Daniel Day-Lewis would play me.
I guess I could see that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You always remind me of Tom Cruise when you come in with the shades though.
Yeah, I mean, risky
you're much taller than Tom Cruise, but it does remind me of that.
Ryan Reynolds would play him. Ryan Reynolds 100%.
Okay. What is one thing that annoys you the most?
A lot of things annoy me. I get annoyed really easily. When people are doing anything besides staring intently at the movie, if they look away for 30 seconds or if they send a text message or eat anything during a movie, even if I've seen it 50 times, I get really upset. And I will pause the movie and glare at them until they stop.
Because they're going to miss something.
Yeah, they're going to, mm-hmm. they're yeah. bound to miss something.
I get upset with that too. Probably not to the extent you do, but I do. Okay. What would you do with your 15 minutes of fame?
15 minutes of fame.
You'd spend it on a podcast.
Yeah, I'd be on this podcast right here. I'd be like, I need to go back to the Washtenaw Chronicles and make my buddies famous.
All right, but what would you do?
I don't know. If I was famous, I'd probably take the 15 minutes to tell people. I don't know. 15 minutes of being famous. I would help others. I would help others. That's what I would do. I would do everything I could to help other people.
You seem to be very deeply invested in people and relationships despite the aloofness that you exhibit.
Oh, yes.
You're such a softy.
Thank you.
You really, truly are. How long do you see your bromance with producer Trey lasting?
Till the end of time, probably, and past that.
Forever.
Always and forever.
Forever.
We've looked into couples' coffins.
Listeners, there is a real bromance going on here. I mean, I feel like I've got to pry producer Trey and Justin apart on a daily basis.
Hey, producer Trey here. I can confirm that is 100% true. It's been on more than one occasion where she's had to pull Justin and I into her office to have a real talk with us and be like, hey, you guys can't do that at the front of the office. Like, you can't. People are coming in. You gotta keep it professional around here. Anyway. back to the show.
But no, I'm actually really glad you guys have bonded. It's neat because, you know, just the humor that comes out of mm-hmm. it is terrific to mm-hmm. start with. But, I mean, if there had been animosity there, that would have been kind of difficult having two teenage gentlemen in the office who didn't like each other.
No, they're great.
We they're have great.
Really good chemistry.
You guys do. You really, really do.
I feel like we'd be good, like in a duo, like Jay and Silent Bob.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We fit really well together. It's really well balanced. I forget who was saying it earlier. They were saying that we're completely opposite. Tori was mm-hmm. saying it. That we're really opposite. But we're alike on the things that matter. And it's about balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whereas like his jokes balance my jokes. I set up his punchlines. He sets up mine.
His height balances your shortness. Yeah.
Not everybody can be freakishly tall. I don't know why that had anything to do with anything, Ashley.
Just picking on you. Thank you, Ashley. Because it was fun.
I'm also just nearsighted, okay? This dude.
Okay. And I got one last one for you. If you could choose your nickname, what would it be?
My nickname. If I could choose my nickname, what would it be? Justin David Richmond, the best receptionist the Pulse has ever seen.
That's like a whole like title.
Yeah, it's a title. I'm actually having a nameplate made for it. It's gonna span all the way across my desk, but everybody's gonna see it the first thing they walk in, and they're gonna know that I'm the best receptionist the Pulse has ever seen.
Okay.
I have some questions, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most traumatic thing you've ever experienced or witnessed?
Most traumatic thing I've ever experienced or witnessed. Gosh, there's a lot of things. I don't know. Can't.
Is it me in the morning before I have my makeup on?
Honestly? Mm-hmm. No. Ashley looks amazing in the morning, whether she has makeup on or not. So that is the farthest thing from traumatic. You've
always got the right words, Justin.
Just for me, though.
Mm-hmm. So do you, Jerry. Jerry, your fashion sense is the keenest thing.
It's the pajamas thing. Oh, yeah. It's everyone.
I pull up to work and I'm like, man, I'm too tired. I don't want to go in. And then I see your little hat on your dashboard in your car and I'm like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
If only I'd wear it and brush my hair every now and then.
So trauma.
Trauma. Mm-hmm.
But feel free to not answer.
Or if we want, what's the most devastating thing you've ever experienced?
I want to answer. I don't know. Moving here was pretty traumatic. That's something. I came from the North, the Yankee land. And,
you were in Washington.
Yeah, it was.
That's not really Yankee land.
Washington State is as north as you can get.
Right,
Maine.
Usually when people, that's what people Yankees. Call West Coast.
Well, nonetheless, I moved here and everyone at my school called me a Yankee, so.
Well, those kids are children. Stupid.
They don't know what they're talking about, yeah. Idiots. So that was traumatic. I can imagine, so. Well, how old were you when you moved here?
I was 15.
15, yeah, that's 15. A really difficult age to be mm-hmm. plucked right out of the environment you're used to and dropped into the foothills of Arkansas. Mm-hmm. I can imagine that. And you went to school in Akron, not mm-hmm. Mena, not to say that that's worse, but it's a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
Probably even than Mena is. And what size school did you come from?
I came from a pretty big size, a couple thousand people in my middle school.
Okay. Just in your middle school. Yeah, I'm sure that
big change.
That alone was a culture shock right there. Mm-hmm. So
what was the happiest time in your life?
The happiest time in my life? I've had a couple. When I did Weeds and Dandelions on the stage, the last showing, a lot of my family was there. That was amazing. Gosh, I'm happy all the time. So one time I was on the beach in California and I had my whole family there and I was just looking at all of us and it was just everybody I cared about was right there. And I was like, I could die right here on this beach and it would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Life is full of the happiest moments if you just look for them.
That's going on the wall of quotes.
Mm-hmm. Wall of quotes.
That's good. Who are some of your
Flavored?
Who are some of your favorite...
Flavored?
Who are some of your favorite playwrights?
Uh-oh. I don't really know too many playwrights. Like, I know plays, but I don't know...
Okay, well,
who wrote them?
Right.
Or who wrote them.
Your favorite plays.
My favorite plays? Gosh. I really love Doubt. I'm blanking on the guy who wrote it, but that's probably one of my favorite plays ever written. It's about this schoolmistress in this Catholic church, and she suspects the father of being inappropriate with one of their students of color, and it's just about doubt, as the title suggests. But it was very well written, very well acted, and that one's really good. I love that one.
Well, I was going to ask you if you have any, you know, nuggets of wisdom for people your age or younger who might be interested in, you know, the creative arts and pursuing, but he just gave it.
Mm-hmm.
That quote. What was it again?
Happy moments are all around us. We just stop and pay attention to them.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's life.
You seem, you are. I'm not going to say you seem. You're very observant. Extremely observant.
You've got a keen mind, sir.
I'm starting to worry a little bit. Might have to start to censor myself so I don't end up totally as some insane character in a play, because I'm pretty sure if you were to actually sit down and write me, I don't think I'd translate well. That's what I'm saying. I don't think I'd translate well.
Keep your inhalers at the ready. The Washed Out Chronicles will be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Hey, hold on. Can we pause this for a second?
What's going on? Ashley, what are you getting into?
Dude, starving.
Oh my gosh, what is it that you're eating?
Wendy's breakfast.
It's Wendy's breakfast?
Uh-huh.
Where's mine?
You gotta get your own.
Oh, man. If I was gonna get something, it'd definitely be my favorite oatmeal bar. They've got those, brown sugary nuggets of just awesomeness.
Hold on, I'm dripping. Okay, so, you know me. I love breakfast. It's like my favorite meal of the day. So I'm absolutely hooked on the breakfast Baconator from Wendy's.
It's all the honey butter chicken biscuit.
No, dude, bacon.
Honey butter chicken biscuit.
Bacon!
Honey butter chicken biscuit.
Can we compromise and have the maple bacon chicken croissant?
Okay, yes. That does sound amazing.
It does. Well, in addition to those really cool unexpected items that Wendy's carries for breakfast, you can always get a classic sausage egg and cheese biscuit or a bacon egg and cheese sandwich.
Then we could make it like a combo and get them seasoned potatoes.
Oh, they're crispy. They're seasony. Those are good. You can download their app and you get 10 points for every dollar you spend at Wendy's. And right now, you get $3 off every mobile order over $15. If you're like us and you love Wendy's and you need more in your life, make sure and visit the Wendy's location nearest you, because remember, Wendy's is always fresh, always hot, and always satisfying. Justin, I appreciate you taking time today, mm-hmm. even though I told you, hey, when you're done with work at 3:00, you're going to come in the studio and record with this because I believe you've got an interesting story. So you didn't really have much of a choice in it, but thanks for staying late and doing that anyways.
I enjoyed it. I enjoy not having a choice. That's my favorite thing.
Well,
it takes all the anxiety of making a decision out of your hands.
I like other people making decisions for me.
Well, I hope that your work at the Pulse does not get in the way too much of future plays or any other thing, any other endeavors. We're here to support you.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to be, I wish, is there recordings of Weeds and Dandelions? I wish we could direct listeners somehow, but it's a plazer. You really need to be there.
Yeah, you gotta be there.
You gotta be there. That's why it's so much different from, you just need to be there to experience
so
it.
So support your local playwrights in your communities, at your community your theaters. And here in MENA, that means the Washita Little Theater, and all the things that they offer.
Yeah, and be on the lookout should Justin get to have the play put on that COVID canceled.
Mm-hmm.
If so, we're going to need a whole row reserved for the Pulse, because we're going to be
there. Oh, I'm bringing my mama too.
Yeah, I'm saying we need a whole row, all the Pulse peoples, and we're going to wear like matching shirts.
Of course.
And, we're going to get
it. Airbrush shirts that says, "We love Justin."
Mm-hmm.
It'll be
Justin
wonderful.
Fan club. Yeah, it's Justin's fan club for sure. All right. Thank you again, Justin.
Yeah, thanks for
having
me.
It's time for that portion of the show we like to call Fast Facts with
Producer Trey.
But I'm going to drop a bomb on you guys.
Drop it.
We're going to do we've got one fast fact for today. We're going to do that one. But after this, we're going to do away with fast facts, because it's only sometimes that we have stuff come up that we don't know the answer, or the guest doesn't know the answer, and we've got to look up. In cases like that, we'll still come back in our wrap up.
Okay, good, because I need to
explain it. But I'm not going to call it fast facts anymore, because it's just not, we just don't have them all the time.
What are you going
to
call?
I don't know. We have to come up with a fancy name,
Time out with Trey.
Time out with Trey.
I like that a lot. Yeah. Time out with Trey, or like.
Longtime listeners, Trey is still going to chime in. We're still going to do a wrap up. We're just going to give it a new name.
The basically. Wacky wrap up.
That sounds like
the wacky wrap up.
Like Waskily Wabbit.
I know. That's why it's really funny.
It's duck season. During our interview with Justin, which did not go like I expected it to go, but it also in some ways went exactly like I expected it to go. Justin takes a little bit to warm up to people. Plus, he's always just messing with you.
Oh, yeah, always. Constantly. And he doesn't like to talk about himself.
No. So it was almost like pulling teeth, really, to get him to do it. I think that if he wasn't employed here and I basically said, "You're staying after work today and recording as our podcast guest," he might not have agreed to it. Possibly not. So. But he did an excellent job. But one thing that came up during his interview, I asked him, who his favorite playwrights were or favorite plays. And he said the play Doubt, but he could not recall who wrote that. Producer Trey found it for us.
It was written in 2004. 2004. I think it was actually written in 2003, but first performed on Broadway in 2004 by John Patrick Shanley.
Well, that was a very quick, mm-hmm. yeah.
What, our very last fast fact.
Very short last fast sweet. Fact. Now, something also came up because producer Trey has gone to not being entirely quiet during our episodes. What was it we were visiting with Justin about, and you interjected and you went into this just monologue on...
How much I love the guy.
Well, no, it was... I had asked Justin the question, why do you feel like your plays have been so successful? Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, the characters themselves or just the subject matter of the story? He kind of had a hard time answering that. Mm-hmm. Trey chimed in mm-hmm. and answered it for him in a terrific way. So that's what I want to hear, Trey.
So you asked what set his writing aside, like why his was so special. Mm-hmm. And it's because, you know, of course, it's known that he has this fascination with people, this fascination with relationships between people. And he's really good at capturing that through dialogue only. He's so good at writing dialogue, and he's so good at taking people who you wouldn't expect him to write. You know, somebody like him, you'd expect to, you know, write some sort of like artistic, maybe quiet type of person, but he can write very bold, brash characters as well as very anxious characters or very angry characters or very sad characters, whatever, people who you wouldn't expect to be associated with him. And then he can make two characters who are wildly different, not only from himself, but from each other. And he can make them have conversations that he would never have with viewpoints he would never have, make them make decisions that he would never have. It's that contrast, that what you wouldn't expect to come from him, his ability to write not only dialogue but characters.
So his character development, but also the variety of his characters. Mm-hmm. He's not just writing characters that have the same type of personality every time. He's reaching into mm-hmm. all...
Specifically characters that aren't like him.
Well, and I think his ability to put himself in the mind of a character. What would they say? How would they feel? How would they react? What would their cadence of speech be? What would their dialogue be? Mm-hmm. That ability to get outside of yourself and imagine another person's world, I think is part of what makes him an empathetic person.
Yeah.
And kind, because if you're able to get outside of yourself and not be the center of everything, mm-hmm. then, you know, you can really consider the world from another perspective. Yeah. And that's so important.
In writing, specifically, not like, what would I do? Mm-hmm. But what would this character do? That's what's really special about him. That's why I love reading his scripts. Mm-hmm. Like, I read The Ear and I loved it. I read a screenplay that he did. Just all of it is fantastic. I saw Weeds and Dandelions when it was playing at the OLT.
Oh, do you want to share that experience?
Oh, buddy, do I.
Tell that story. That's a good one.
So when Ashley was talking about hiring Justin, first off, I was 100% advocating for it. I was like, yeah, he's a great writer. He would write for the paper. I'm sure he's, you know, a cool dude. He's really smart. So I was, but I also had this like cognitive thing where it's like, I had this like anxiety about it, you know, because I had this feeling that we wouldn't get along. And I couldn't really place where it was until about like a month or two into him working here when it hit me. And I remembered what my first experience with this dude, like what it was. And I was watching Weeds and Dandelions, and it went to the intermission, and he was getting up and he was meeting all the people, like shaking hands and saying hi, you know, whatever. And I see him, and my immediate reaction was, this dude looks like a jackass. Because he's wearing a baby blue blazer with a flower in the pocket and sunglasses inside. And if you've ever been to the OLT,
it's dark.
Like, natural. Mm-hmm. The lighting isn't. So he's wearing sunglasses inside. I was like, oh, dear Lord. But, you know, it was a good play and I was enjoying it a lot. So I stood up and I was like, hey, man, I'm really enjoying your play. And he goes, thanks. Like, it was like he was annoyed that I said anything.
But really, he was probably embarrassed.
I think that's what it was. You know, now mm-hmm. knowing him, I know that it's kind of just this front where it's like, I'm really uncomfortable being the center of attention, so I have to pretend to be pretentious. So, but, and that's exactly what it is. So, I couldn't remember why I had that kind of negative thing, but when I remember that, I brought that to him. We joke about it all the time.
Oh, so he's aware that he was a pretentious jackass.
Yeah.
The first time he met you.
Yeah, we make jokes about it. It's really funny. If
I prefer to think of him as a little goober.
A little goober?
Like with with a blue blazer on and a flower and sunglasses. I prefer the term goober.
Goober?
He looks like a big old goober.
I honestly just show up to work every day to see what Justin's wearing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a big part of my day to see what outfit he's chosen.
He's well dressed.
As we mentioned earlier, him and Trey are Twinkies today. Mm-hmm. So that was a delightful surprise.
Yes, yeah, he's dressing up as me because I've always got like the hoodie and the disheveled hair, and that was him today. So he's taking a note from my book.
I have this song that I really like, and I listen to YouTube for my music a lot during the day, and the video had come on, and I'd heard the song a million times, but I actually like glanced down and looked at the video, and I went, it's Justin and producer Trey. I mean, it looked like you two in this video by this band called The Palms. And I just was cracking up because they were both like, you know, the brunette was playing the guitar and the blonde was singing. They had the sunglasses on and then like, you know, it just was totally them. And it was shot in black and white. So it made me think very artsy like they are. Yeah.
Like Clerks.
A little bit like, no, not anything like Clerks. No, nothing like Clerks.
More actually. Like More Than Words by Extreme.
Is that Extreme?
Is that y'all's love song?
It is now.
Do you guys have a song?
No. Well, you know what? I think if I was going to choose a song for us, it'd be Two Sleepy People. The one that Sammy Davis Jr. did. It's a duet.
I've never heard that.
Mm-mm. Two Sleepy People.
But in the end, very glad that I made the decision to hire Justin, mm-hmm. bring him on board, and get to learn all these cool things about him. Because when he was talking about how Weeds and Dandelions came about, that right there blew me away. That was another level of Justin that I didn't know. You know, him talking about riding the bus and watching the houses that these kids would get off at and imagining what their lives were like there, and then taking his experience with his mom being a DHS worker and pouring all of that into a play. I mean, I've got a new level of respect for Justin that I did not have before. Well, as always, thank you for listening to the Washita Chronicles, brought to you by Dawn's Easy Pay and Dawn's Home Store. You can find us, along with other great shows, at thewashitapodcast.com. You can contact us at thewashitapodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you find us on Facebook and Instagram and give us a like. And if you're so inclined, please give us a rating on whatever podcast streaming platform you use. Until next time, Ashley and Jerry and producer Trey,
out.
Thank you for listening to the Washita Chronicles.